From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim, in for Michael Krasny. The Oakland A's would like to build their new stadium within walking distance of downtown Oakland, next to Lake Merritt. The A's say the location on Peralta Community College District land is uniquely Oakland and well-served by public transportation. The proposal is drawing cheers from many fans, but critics of the plan worry the new stadium will destroy existing neighborhoods and affordable housing. Coming up on Forum, we'll talk to the team's president, Dave Cavill, about the A's future in Oakland. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim, in for Michael Krasny. The Raiders and Warriors may be leaving Oakland, but the A's say they're here to stay. Last week, the team announced preliminary plans for a new 35,000-seat privately financed ballpark near Laney College and Lake Merritt. The new $500 million stadium would be built at a 13-acre location where the Peralta Community College District headquarters now stand. It would replace the Coliseum, where the A's have played since moving from Kansas City in 1968. And in this hour, we'll talk with A's president Dave Cavill about the plan, which has the backing of business and labor leaders, but it's also sparked community concerns about gentrification and displacement. Welcome, Dave Cavill, president of the Oakland A's. Thanks for joining us on Forum.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we also have here in studio Nina Thorson. She's a producer at KQED and the California Report and a longtime Oakland A's fan and my wingman or wingwoman for this show since I don't really know a lot about sports and I know you keep up on this topic.
Good morning, Queena.
Good morning. So, Dave Cavill, let me start with you. You said that the Peralta site was the best possible site, especially for its walkability and transportation. Of course, there are the freeways there as well as the BART. But there are also some critics who are saying that you've found one of the most challenging sites in terms of hyper-local concerns of gentrification, mainly people around that area feeling that they might be displaced.
Well, I mean, we realize that's a real concern, and that's why we're entering into a 9 to 12 month public process to really engage the community, to identify solutions to those potential issues, to make sure that we have a robust, affordable housing component to our project. Because while you're right, you know, the site, it's walkable, it's right next to Lake Merritt, it's a great location. We want to make sure that we preserve and really enhance the character of the actual neighborhoods and communities around it. We want that to be a uniquely Oakland part of the ballpark experience.
And I'm curious, Mayor Libby Chaff of Oakland has said she would have preferred that you guys go over by the Port of Oakland, which was another site that you all were looking at. Why not that site? It seems like you might have faced less, at least neighbor pushback from that area.
Well, you know, transportation is a huge part of making a ballpark work. And, you know, having the BART station just 0.3 miles from the Peralta site is a huge part and huge reason why that site really shines from a transportation perspective. You also have the bus wrap, the transit line that runs down International that AC Transit is installing. You have the 880 freeway. You know, it's really at a transportation node right there in the heart of the city. And so the transportation plan really was the best at the Peralta site in terms of really being a downtown location, walkability, bikeability. That takes cars off the road. You know, currently at the Coliseum, only 20% of the people who attend games take transit. Mm-hmm. And at this site, we're probably going to have 50 to 60%. So that's a big difference, and that's going to take thousands of cars off the road, be good for the environment, and create a great experience for fans and the community.
So it sounds like there's a little bit of a trade-off there because there's better transportation. We might not hear as many complaints from the folks of Oakland about how the stadium is creating congestion and there's no way for people to get there. But then again, if you do that, you sort of end up in a neighborhood. I'd love to hear from Nina Thorson here, your longtime A's fan and a stakeholder in this conversation. What are your fellow fans feeling about this plan?
Well, I think one of the things that's been very interesting about this process so far is that it's been very public. Dave Cavill announced at FanFest, which is the event that the A's hold every year in January, that there would be a preferred site announced by the end of the year, and he's done that now. And since then, there have been focus groups. I actually went to a focus group for season ticket holders because I am one. There have been, Dave has been having office hours. He's been doing a lot of community outreach in each of these neighborhoods. So I think as compared to some of the previous processes with the team where sites were announced as being, this is where we are moving, take it or leave it, and ultimately those did not work out, I think this has been a very different approach where people feel like they have some buy-in and some way to express their feeling about it. And I kind of feel like this is an extension of that process. You know, we're hearing from all the various constituencies about this is what we're concerned about, and you know, that's a process that's going to be working through over the next year.
Well, Nina, I know you don't speak for all the fans of the A's, but I'm curious from your set or the folks you hang out with, do they feel like this was a site that they wanted, the Lake Merritt area?
You know, I think for the hardcore fans of the team, they will go wherever they have to go. They're going to the Coliseum now.
Right.
I think the challenge for the A's is going to be to build that fan base to attract more of the casual fans and also more of the corporate ticket holders, the suite purchasers and so on, which are all, you know, a team has to have all three of those, kind of the, you know, the people who buy tickets the day of and the people who pay their season tickets in advance and then the corporations who buy them maybe years in advance. And I think that the hardcore fans, I think they would be happy in all three sites. There are some people who have a strong preference one way or the other. Most of them, I'm not hearing that so much, but I'm hearing enthusiasm for the way that the team's going about it.
And Dave Cavill, Nina touched on this a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about the economics of building a stadium? It seems that this plan follows a trend of building stadiums in the downtown area. And I guess what's the thinking behind that, in addition to the transportation needs and that sort of stuff, in terms of making the economics of this work?
Well, really, the Peralta site was the strongest of the sites in terms of the ability to privately finance the venue. And that's an important thing for us. You know, we're 100% privately financing the ballpark. This site was the strongest because the walkable urban locations draw the biggest fans, have the most corporate sponsors, as you guys were saying. And so when we looked at the financing of the possibilities, Peralta was on top. And that's an important piece because you have over $3 billion in economic impact, 2,000 construction jobs alone, all private money. You know, that's a huge deal for the city of Oakland. And I think it can really transform the city in a positive way and do it with our open process that doesn't compromise the actual folks who are living there now, but can actually be a catalyst for positive growth and change if managed responsibly. And that's what we set out to do. That's why we have a 9 to 12 month public process. That's why we've had the outreach we've done to date. And we're going to continue that because that openness and transparency is really our North Star in terms of how we can deliver on a project of this scale in a successful way.
That's interesting. So if I'm hearing you correctly, by putting this stadium in downtown, you're going to capture those casual ticket sales that Nina's been talking about. It's actually going to bring in more money in order for this to be able to be privately financed. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's exactly right. And that's, you know, when we looked at the criteria of choosing the sites, we looked at transportation. We looked at which one was the best to finance. We looked at where our fans were, and we listened to our fans and did focus groups and surveys. And all those things together is like a Rubik's Cube. When you looked at it, the Peralta site ended up being the top on almost all those criteria. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the key reasons why we moved forward with Peralta as the preferred site. But by the same token, we knew that the neighborhoods and the community was going to want a continued say in this process. And that's why we introduced this year-long public process before we get into the environmental work, to make sure people feel that they are an owner of the project scope and that whatever's built there, the ballpark, housing, affordable housing, any retail components, anything, is something that's vetted through the community in a real way.
That's David Covell. He's a president of the Oakland A's. We also have Nina Thorson here in the studio with us. She's a producer and longtime A's fan. And we're going to open up the phone lines pretty early on this one. We're wondering if you have any comments about this plan, questions for Mr. Covell or Nina here. And our phone number here is 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or just email us your questions. That's at forum@kqed.org, or you could post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Nina, you had a comment that you wanted to share.
Well, I mean, I think also the trend to downtown stadiums, which has been happening very much over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, is really a different way of people going to sporting events. The Coliseum was designed, you know, the A's have been there since 1968, the Raiders since 1966, but it was designed in 1960. And it was really designed in this era where the frame of mind was you get in your car, you drive to the ballpark, you get out of your car, you go into the ballpark, you sit down, you watch a game, maybe you buy a hot dog there, the game is over, you get back in your car, and you drive away. And that's not the way that modern ballparks are being constructed. The idea is, you know, there should be shops, there should be restaurants, there should be bars, people might want to come 3 hours early and watch batting practice, and they might want to, there might be other things to do at the ballpark. They might want to stick around, there might be a post-game conversation going on in a, you know, in some kind of a room. And so the idea of having a ballpark be closer to
like one part of the entertainment, like a day of entertainment,
right,
that
right.
would include a baseball game, but maybe also a night out.
Yeah.
Dave Covell, I was curious. We've talked a lot about how you've talked to fans about, you know, where this stadium should be placed. What's that conversation been like with the residents and the state, you know, the business folks and the folks who live in that area?
Well, you know, I've done office hours in at all the potential locations and multiple ones in the East Lake, as well as the Chinatown area. And I think folks, you know, want to have a voice at the table. They want to understand how things like parking and traffic and gentrification and displacement pressures are going to be dealt with. And that's why we want things like a robust, affordable housing plan with the actual project. We've actually convened a transportation task force to make sure we leverage existing infrastructure and know what additional investments are needed. I think this project could be a catalyst to look at, you know, the Webster Tube and making sure that that's a way to connect to Alameda in an effective way. So there's a lot of things that this project could bring that could potentially help the current situation, which is not perfect. And I think what I hear from residents is, hey, we have some challenges here. We want to make sure that this doesn't impact our quality of life in a negative way. And we want to make sure you do it, you know, kind of in a measured and responsible way. And so we're doing that. And that's why we're doing the outreach. And that's why we're meeting with folks and understanding the concerns of the different neighborhoods and making sure that we have that guiding principle that we want to preserve the unique nature of these Oakland landmarks. And I think that's an important part of the project.
And going forward, does that mean more office hours? Are you going to be holding town hall meetings? And also, I know that you helped build the stadium for the earthquakes down in San Jose. I guess I'm wondering how you can compare and contrast your learnings of that experience and how you might take some of that and apply it here in Oakland.
Well, I think one thing we learned at Avaya, which was a privately financed stadium in San Jose that turned out to be a huge success, is that the community input is very valuable to the process. And we want to make sure that we duplicate that and really engage folks in a meaningful way. We are going to hire a world-class urban design firm that's going to come in and help manage the community engagement and input to make sure folks can be involved and really have more of a grassroots feel. We want to make sure we reach out to communities that where English is not the first language, whether it's Vietnamese or Cantonese, and make sure everyone in and around the ballpark area, in that neighborhood, that center of Oakland, the Lake Merritt District, can feel part of this, because it's obviously a big deal and it has the opportunity to really be positive for Oakland and our region, but it's got to be done in the right way and everyone has to have a seat at the table and really important input.
Well, we're going to take a call now. We've got Tony from Berkeley on the line. Tony, welcome to Forum.
Hi. Yes, my question is, I'm also a student at Laney College, and the woman said that there was a focus group of Oakland A's ticket holders. Well, how, I would suggest a focus group of Laney College students and staff to see how they feel about it and how they're going to be impacted by it, because not only they're going to be impacted by it, but the immigrants, the refugees, and the working class people. So that's one question. And the other question is, I would like you to define low-income housing. How many units are you talking about, and what's the ceiling on that? Thank you.
Dave?
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for the question. You know, we actually have done a series of town halls and meetings with faculty, staff, as well as students at Laney, and we're going to continue that because, you know, Laney and the Peralta College District, since it's our neighbor on the site potentially, we want to make sure we're doing everything we can to advance their educational mission, whether it's workforce development programs, whether it's partnering with the architectural school on the design of the ballpark or the Culinary Academy. There's a ton of ways to work together to further that mission, and then also to potentially create revenue streams for the college's operation, which could be important. And I think on the last point, in terms of housing, you know, that's not really determined yet. Part of this next year is to determine, like, what is needed in these different neighborhoods to understand the different levels of affordable housing. And it might even be student housing or faculty housing because you have a college next door. So those are all things that are possible and that we want to work forward in a constructive way with the community.
So, Dave Cavill, I hear what you're saying, but I'm sure you've also seen the reports that there have been several meetings at Laney College where there's been a very vocal group of folks who don't feel that the stadium is right for the school, and they've sort of thrown down the gauntlet, at least for now. I know this is going to be a really long process. So what's being missed there in terms of this outreach and the response, at least we're seeing in the press?
Well, you know, we're going to continue to engage everyone who has a voice in this, and we want to make sure that, you know, at least we can take the first step and start the dialogue, because it's always worth a conversation to understand, you know, what are the needs of different communities and stakeholders, whether it's Laney College, faculty, staff, the community, to see if a project of this scale, because it is a very big project, as people know, can be done in a measured way that helps both the academic mission of the college and preserves the communities and neighborhoods in a meaningful way. That is our goal, and that's where we're going in with that positive intent, and we're hopeful to sit down with folks in a constructive way to understand how to do that. And I think that's what the announcement really is, that we're entering this process, that we want to dig in, roll up our sleeves, meet with folks, understand their concerns, because I do feel that if done right, a new ballpark, a walkable ballpark, privately financed in downtown Oakland can really be a force of positive good in this community. And it's an opportunity that comes by once a generation. And I think it's important that we all take the right time to engage each other to see if we can pull it off in an effective way.
And we should add that quite a few business leaders have come out, including the Oakland Chamber of Commerce, the Chinatown Chamber of Commerce. I think I even saw the African American Chamber of Commerce in Oakland have come out in support of this stadium, if, you know, it's done in the proper way. Nina, what's been the reaction from the city officials?
Well, city officials have been they're very supportive of the A's staying in Oakland and committing to Oakland. They have not necessarily been as enthusiastic about this particular site. It's important to realize that the city of Oakland and Alameda County jointly own the Coliseum and jointly operate it. And so they are going to be an important part of this process, both in terms of where a new privately financed stadium is going to be, but also in working out what the future of the Coliseum site. And there's a lot of other land that the city owns or controls besides just the Coliseum and the parking lot in that area. So there, you know, this plan, by announcing this, the team is not only sort of declaring its preference as to where it will be, but it's also giving the city and the county a timeline for, you know, 2023, the opening date of the new ballpark, if everything works as the A's are hoping, is also the date at which Oakland and Alameda County are going to get the Coliseum site back for them to figure out what happens next. And, you know, whether that is going to be housing, whether that is going to be, you know, open space, whether that is going to be retail, whether they're going to pitch that as the Amazon second headquarters. You know, it's a huge site with great transit and transportation connections there as well. So the sky is the limit on what could be going in there.
So we have a listener comment here. Charles writes, please describe exactly where the site is. The A's released a video that didn't have a clear map. What exists there now? And Dave Cabell, can you answer that one for us?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So the site that we're looking at is 13 acres, which currently houses the Peralta District offices in temporary buildings. And there's some kind of workshops and things like that related to their operations, mostly temporary buildings. And actually in the 2014 master plan that Laney and Peralta did, that site was declared surplus. And so it's a location that is not part of the long-term plan for the Peralta District, and that's why it was highlighted when we looked at potential sites, because it is land that could maybe be used in a more efficient way. So that's the actual location. It's bounded by 5th Avenue on one side. You have the 880 freeway, and then you have 8th Avenue on the north. So that's kind of the parcel right there where it would go. And then you have the estuary that connects the bay to Lake Merritt, which is kind of on the western side of the site. So that composes the four boundaries or the four lines.
Well, since you mentioned the estuary, I'm sure you saw the paper today. The San Francisco Chronicle had an article about the Audubon Society weighing in, saying that the proposed stadium will be bad for the birds, that it could threaten up to $198 million in environmental restoration that's been happening at Lake Merritt. And I'm wondering if you have a response to that, Dave Cabell.
Well, the Measure DD funding that they're talking about, our project, I think, could work in tandem with that to even enhance those benefits to the estuary, which connects Lake Merritt to the actual bay and creates kind of like a really awesome path that you can walk on. It's a really great way to kind of experience Oakland and see the wildlife. And so, obviously, we want to make sure whatever plan we have for the ballpark incorporates the needs of the bird community, the Audubon Society. They're obviously a leader in that area. We worked with them down in San Jose at Avaya Stadium and worked on things like the burrowing owl, which was native to that habitat. And I'm excited to sit down with them and try to come up with a plan that can work effectively for them and us. And just to be clear, the environmental impact process, the CalCEQA process, has a very specific and rigorous bar that needs to be reached, that the state has set up.
And I'm going to have to cut you off there for a second. That's Dave Cabell, president of the Oakland A's. We're going to pick up this conversation after the break. You can give us a call at 866-733-6786 if you want to ask some questions about the stadium or have any comments. I'm Queena Kim, and you are listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Forum. We are discussing the Oakland A's proposal for a new 35,000-seat privately financed ballpark near Laney College and Lake Merritt. We're speaking to Dave Cabell, president of the Oakland A's, and Nina Thorson, KQED producer and longtime Oakland A's fan. I'd like to bring one other person into this conversation. That's Robert Gammon. He's the news editor for the East Bay Express. Hey, Robert.
Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So I've been, I know you've been keeping up with the response from the Peralta, or the Laney Community College folks there. You've also talked to some of the residents there. On the other hand, we've seen that a lot of the business leaders, everybody from the Chinese Business Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Oakland Chamber of Commerce, have come out in favor of this. I'm sort of curious from you about what's the balancing act here that the Oakland City leaders and the politicians are going to have to walk in terms of the stadium? Because it's like two different, two pretty important stakeholders that seem to have very different points of view.
Yeah, I think it's going to be trying to be a pretty long process. You know, Dave Cabell said a little while ago he thinks it's going to be 9 to 12 months. It probably is going to be longer than that, knowing city politics. It'll have to go through the city council. Obviously, it has to go through the Peralta Community College District as well. And so, you know, I think it's going to be stakeholders on both sides. It's going to be coming out. Should be some raucous city council meetings. And this could take a long time.
Dave Cavill has mentioned that affordable housing is on the table and that they're committed to bringing it as part of this stadium project. Do you think that's enough to quell the the sort of opposition you're hearing from the Laney College folks?
I think it'll certainly help a lot, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to really protect the small businesses and the immigrant community around the ballpark. That area of the city has been long known as a kind of a bastion for Southeast Asian immigrants, and so it's going to be very difficult for them to stay there when a new ballpark is built.
Well, we've got a lot of calls on this one, so I'm going to go right to them. We have Ryan in San Francisco. Hey, Ryan, welcome to Forum.
Thank you, and good morning. Mr. Cavill, first off, let me say, as a lifelong Giants fan, and I'm still heartbroken after 1989, it's really good for, I think, Major League Baseball and the Bay Area to see what you guys have been doing with the Athletics. I know you're relatively new to the organization, but I wish you all the luck in the building of the stadium. My question is, from... I think the Haas family, when they owned the Athletics, had a handshake agreement with the Giants regarding San Jose. How frustrating was it dealing with Major League Baseball, and how much did the San Francisco Giants organization play a part in maybe blocking that move? And then finally, with the move of the 49ers from San Francisco down to Santa Clara, with it being a lukewarm reception, do you now feel like that has now vindicated the fact that you guys will be staying in Oakland and hopefully go in the stadium in off of Lake Merritt? Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the question. And obviously, your fandom of baseball in general, I wish you were an A's fan, not a Giants fan. But I think in general, you know, when I started as team president 9 months ago, I really saw Oakland as a great strength of the organization. The fact that we have, you know, basically 50 years here, the amazing history, the championships, 4 world championships here in Oakland. And so, especially with the other teams leaving, we really wanted to focus on Oakland as our primary objective. And that's been our focus since I started. And I think there's a great plan, and that the city of Oakland and the East Bay community can support baseball in a meaningful way. And that's why we're so focused on it.
We have a call from Elizabeth in Oakland. Elizabeth, welcome to Forum.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I'm a big A's fan. I can't afford season tickets, but I do go to about 15 games a year. And I really appreciate you already taking off the tarps at the Coliseum. It's been really helpful to help my family go to more games per year. I understand that the stadium itself is going to be privately financed, but I'm wondering about the if there's going to be a rising cost associated with maintaining it and things like that that might lead to higher ticket prices. And I'm wondering what the plan is to make sure that ticket prices and other costs associated with spending time at the ballpark will be kept down so that fans like me can continue to go to as many games as possible.
That's a great question. You know, I've met with so many folks at office hours or just at the Coliseum. And I think one of our key objectives is to build a privately financed ballpark, but to keep it affordable for our fans. The East Bay and Oakland A's fans are some of the best in all of sports. They're knowledgeable, energetic. The place is so loud. It's a home field advantage. And we want to do everything we can to make sure we have a robust plan to keep folks keep the tickets affordable and so people can come to the games. And so that's a major objective of us. And we're going to actually design the stadium to accommodate that. So that's a big goal.
And Nina, as a longtime fan, what is sort of the range of tickets you feel is considered, quote, affordable?
Well, I mean, I think it depends for everyone, you know, what they're thinking. But tickets right now are very affordable, you know, $10, $11 in the bleachers and $15 in the upper deck. And I think that is one of the things you were asking me earlier about what fans are talking about in the stadium. And that is actually a conversation I've had with a lot of my fellow fans who go to every single game, that, you know, there is a fear, or not even a fear, a knowledge that this is perhaps not going to be possible for everybody in a new stadium. And if that's the price that fans have to pay for getting a better ballpark, which will enable us to get a better team and keep the team competitive in the long term, I think fans are you know, they'll live with that.
It's
and
a
they'll
price
find
you're
a way to
pay.
Work. They'll find a way to work around it. But as long as there's a good balance, as long as it's not, you know, that all of the good seats, so-called good seats, are you know, for the people who are paying big money, and the, you know, there's relatively few seats that are affordable. I think that is something that. You know, we're hearing from the A's that they're going to try and keep a good balance of a good range of prices and different kinds of neighborhoods in the ballpark that people will be able to keep going.
And we just heard Dave Cavill saying that is a priority for the A's. But I wanted to turn to you, Robert Gammon. We keep hearing that this is going to be a privately financed stadium. Does that mean that the city is off the hook for any costs, or how does that work?
No, the city is expected to kick in money for infrastructure around the stadium. The city officials have said that they will likely offer the A's about the same what they offered the Oakland Raiders last year before the Raiders decided to move to Las Vegas. At the Coliseum, the city and county officials offered the A's $200 million in infrastructure upgrades for the Coliseum.
And what does that look? What are we talking about infrastructure? Are we talking about traffic lights? Or, I mean, plumbing? What does that mean?
Yes, all of that. You know, there's going to be probably a new off-ramp and on-ramps from I-880. There's going to be new roads in the area, sewer lines, electrical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it adds up, probably about $200 million. The city has to create an infrastructure financing district to pay for that. It's a special entity created by the state a few years ago that would allow it to sell bonds and then pay back the bonds through revenues generated by the stadium.
And is that just done by a vote with the city council, or is that the public at large that has to vote on that?
No, the council would have to vote to create the infrastructure district, and I probably would have to vote along with the Peralta Community College District to do it, because how these infrastructure district works is that the property owners are the members of the infrastructure district. So in this case, if it's just Peralta Community College District property and City of Oakland property, then you'd basically have two public agencies that would make up this infrastructure district.
Well, let's go to a call. We have Keith in Oakland. Keith, welcome to Forum.
Hello. I'm in Jack London Square, so excuse me if it gets a little noisy with trains here. Dave, I met you at the Fan Fest here in Jack London Square, and I want to commend you on the work you've done with the community. It's phenomenal. All the meetings, both here in Jack London Square, over by the Peralta site, very, very, very good work. I think you're doing a good job meeting with people and discussing their concerns. My particular question is this. It seems as if, to me, the priority of the sites were Peralta first, and I would say Coliseum second, and Howard Terminal is probably out of the picture. My question is, if Peralta, it seems as if the Coliseum site is going to be frozen in place until the Peralta site gets a go-ahead, because the A's have nowhere else to go. And if Peralta doesn't work out, is the backup plan the Coliseum? I know it's hard to talk about these things, but just in general, you're staying in the Coliseum until you have somewhere else to go, correct?
Oh, yeah. We have a 10-year lease, and, you know, we have it through 2024. So, obviously, we'll continue to play there until the new ballpark is built. But we're 100% focused on Peralta. We think it can be a great location for a ballpark. We obviously want to make sure we take the time to do it the right way. It's a generational decision. And, obviously, if it's not done right, it can have negative effects. And so we want to make sure we're proactive. And we come up with a plan that's endorsed by as many of the stakeholder groups as possible. But we are right now just 100% focused on Peralta.
And what is the timeline in terms of, you know, building the stadium and moving into the Peralta site?
Well, the timeline that we laid out in the video and on our website, oaklandballpark.com, has a year of public input before we would even get to a finalized project scope. And then once that happens, they say a year from now, then we would enter into the environmental impact process, the CalCEQA process. That's about 2 years. That is another 2 years of public input to make sure that we get all the mitigations done. I did that down at Avaya Stadium with the Quakes. Once that's complete, then you can get to a point where you can actually get the ability to break ground, and that would be in early 2021. And then it takes about 2 years to build a baseball stadium, 34,000-seat stadium. So we would be looking at first pitch in the spring of 2023.
Robert Gammon with the East Bay Express. Does that sound like a realistic timeline to you?
That does sound pretty realistic, but I'd always add a year or two on the end of that. The Warriors in San Francisco, it took them probably two more years than they originally anticipated to open up their new Chase Center, which is supposed to open in 2019. So that sounds about right, 2023, 2025, if they can get that far. Depends upon the community opposition to the ballpark.
Well, we have a listener comment here. Carolyn writes, your guest mentioned that the proposed site for the Oakland A's is 13 acres. Will your guest please compare that to how big the site for the Giants ballpark is, not including parking? That sounds like a question for you, Dave.
Yeah, their site is 11 acres. So it's actually larger. And so and the stadium is actually going to be a smaller capacity. So there's plenty of space there to build a really nice, intimate ballpark. And I think what I've heard from the community and really our vision for the ballpark itself, and we haven't picked a designer yet, but we will shortly, is to have a ballpark that's not only intimate, so you're really close to the action and there's not a bad seat in the building, but also authentic to Oakland. You know, we don't just want to build AT&T Park in the East Bay. We actually want to build a ballpark that feels like Oakland, that has a lot of the unique, you know, shops and restaurants, whether it's Oaklandish or the foodie culture and the food trucks. So when you go there, you really have a sense that you are in our town.
Well, we are getting a lot of questions, no surprise, about parking. We have one listener who asks, where is the proposed parking for the Oakland site? And before you answer that, let me dovetail another one in here. Leslie writes, students and faculty already are having a difficult time parking at Laney. How can the A's guarantee that the baseball attendees will not use student and faculty parking? So what's the proposed parking, and how do we make sure Laney students and professors get to park?
Well, first of all, from the Laney perspective, you know, we can only move forward with them if we can fulfill our guiding principle to make Laney better off. And that would include potentially more parking than they currently have for their classes and for their school. And so we don't want to interfere with that. We want to make sure that they have the same or probably more than they have. So that could actually be better for them. But then on top of that, one great thing about an urban walkable and bikeable location is that it requires a lot less cars than the current Coliseum configuration. And so we're going to have better access to public transit. You know, right now, like I said earlier, only 20% of people take public transit to the Coliseum. We're expecting more like 50 to 60% at the Peralta site because it's a walkable location. It has BART access. It has the bus rapid transit. And so the number of parking stalls is going to be less. They're still going to be needed, and we're going to come up with plans on some of the adjacent areas to make sure we have that done in an effective way. But keep in mind, downtown Oakland has something like 19,000 parking spots. And when you go to places like the Shark Tank in San Jose, they have 700 on-site parking spots. But these urban ballparks are very different than the older generation, which is just had a sea of parking. You actually can leverage some of the existing infrastructure and rely more on transit to get people to and from the venue.
Well, let's go to a call. We have Ron from Kensington. Ron, welcome to Forum.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So here's my concern about the transit accessibility. The problem with the Coliseum will get repeated from what I'm hearing, because the problem is you can arrive over a period of an hour and a half or 2 hours, but everybody has to leave at once. And there's no place to queue up cars, even if BART could put them all on the tracks. You know, AT&T Park works because you can have the Muni cars coming at very close intervals, and then the Embarcadero station is a node for every line in the Bay Area. The only other station that is that is MacArthur Station, but that's not going to help you. It's too far away. So you got a problem with people departing the park. That's why it's not transit-friendly at the Coliseum, and that's why this one won't be either, unless you figure out how to queue up trains somewhere.
Yeah, Ron Cavill, he brings up an interesting point there, because the two train lines, if I'm correct, are like 12th Street and 19th Street, and they only go in two directions. They're not hubs. What about that idea that, you know, BART might not be the best BART stations right there in terms of this idea of transportation friendly?
Well, we actually commissioned a transportation study, and we have a transportation task force. We're working with the city of Oakland, their new transportation director, Sharon Pierce, who did all the work in San Francisco as well. And that plan includes not only the Lake Merritt station, obviously taking a substantial amount of the folks in BART, but also the downtown locations.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've done a lot of modeling with the 34,000-seat stadium, and they feel that there is a plan. And we're working with the community to make sure additional infrastructure is needed. You know, we might need to invest in a BART station that can handle more traffic and things like that.
Like a bigger BART station? Is that what you're talking about? Like expanding one of the BART stations that are already existing?
Yeah, exactly. And also just making sure that understanding where BART's going to be in 2023. What mm-hmm. are the capability of the different stations? You know, obviously you're going to have extended service to San Jose at the time, and making sure that the Lake Merritt station can support as much as it needs to handle, you know, half, you know, or maybe 40% of the patrons. And then I think the other thing is that in terms of people leaving, you know, one great thing about downtowns is they're very porous. And
right.
if you study downtowns and urban design and you look at places like, you know, New York City or Camden Yards or Jacobs Field in Cleveland, people park in, you know, a mile or a mile and a half sometimes from the venue, and they walk out to their cars and then leave from there, which actually significantly decreases the congestion.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows the opportunity for those people to frequent local businesses and actually create a lot more economic impact. So there's some things about cities that actually just are better suited than having a destination location like the Coliseum that we have now.
Nina Thorson, a longtime A's fan, we've been hearing a lot about transportation and all the issues around it. How much is that weighing on the minds of the folks you're hanging out with?
For the folks I'm hanging out with, I think they are they're interested in it, but I think they know that it will work out. At the one focus group that I went to, interestingly, it was just the way that this particular focus group sorted out. Most of the people were people who drove to games and preferred the Coliseum site among the three alternatives. I know that some of the other focus groups had people who were more interested in the other thing. I think the other thing to keep in mind here, too, is that it's not just the fans going in and out, but it's also the workforce. And there's a substantial number of people who work at the stadium for game day. They need to be able to get in and out. And so access to BART may be especially important for them. And a lot of those folks now live near the Coliseum. But they'll be, you know, two BART stops away at Lake Merritt if this plan goes through.
We have to get to a break in a second, but I want to squeeze in a call. Josh from Oakland, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Yeah. If you can make it quick, we got to go to a break, but I wanted to get you on. What's your question?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't really have a question so much as I do. I have a comment. My comment essentially is that I think for most people who have any education as to the history of the world, we know that sporting events are usually bread and circus to distract and mollify the lower socioeconomic strata. And it kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth that we're considering putting a large sporting arena next to a school that has historically served low in the lower socioeconomic strata of the Bay Area. And we're considering putting a sporting arena next to it that might impede its ability to service its community. I think anyone with any common sense can probably tell that a sporting arena is going to negatively impact that area. And that school, which I actually happen to be a student at, Laney College, actually provides most of the computer science courses for matriculation to four-year institutions for the Bay Area. And I think it's a bad idea to stick a big sporting arena in there that's going to cause it to be very difficult for people to attend school there.
Josh, I want to hold that thought for a second while we go to a break. We are discussing the Oakland A's proposal for a new 35,000 seat. It's privately financed, a privately financed ballpark near Laney College. You are listening to Forum, and talking to us about this subject are Dave Cavill. He is a president of the A's. Nina Thorson, producer here at KQED, also a longtime fan. Robert Gammon with the East Bay Express. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information on how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Queen of Kim. So, Robert Gammon, that sounds like a question for you. I guess what I'm hearing is the competing needs of Laney College and its students, again, with this ballpark, and maybe the symbolism that it might represent I'm wondering if any of what the caller said resonated with you, or if you had any thoughts on that.
I actually think of the issues involved. The Laney College folks are sure to come out in large numbers to speak about this ballpark plan. But I think that the A's, if done right, have the ability to actually mitigate many of the issues surrounding Laney College. If they can provide more parking, you know, many of the ball games are at night when there's not a lot of classes at Laney College. There's going to be this kind of – the ballpark's going to create this feeling of, hey, let's take mass transit or let's walk to the ballpark because of its location to downtown. I don't – at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to create as many problems for Laney College as it could create for the surrounding neighborhood of small immigrant businesses.
We have a listener comment here. Trish asks, if this ballpark will be used for concerts and other activities besides ball games, consider the impact upon wildlife. Learn from the Santa Clara experience where human neighbors to Levi's stadiums are engaged in enraged over the late-night noise generated by these loud activities. So it sounds like it's actually like two questions here, but I'm going to take the question of, are there going to be concerts? And I guess if there are, what's the thinking around late-night activities and sort of the noise that comes with that?
Well, we would want to work with the community like we did at Avaya Stadium to make sure that whatever's programmed there, whether it's a concert or a sporting event, it's done in a way that doesn't create noise pollution. Like at the Coliseum right now, we have one speaker for the entire Coliseum. Down at Avaya Stadium, we did a distributed speaker system that actually concentrates the sound, has way less pollution. And so there are things that can be done along those lines that are smarter, leveraging technology to make sure you don't have a lot of these negative impacts on wildlife or the surrounding community. And so those are things that we would definitely put in the plan, and we want to make sure we'd work with the community to communicate that and also get their feedback.
We got a call from Hugh in Oakland. Hugh, welcome to Forum.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to ask if the outside of the stadium could be made a little bit more interactive with the community. Camden, beautiful stadiums like Camden Yards are vibrant on the inside, but there's still a wall to the outside that is a bunch of concrete or bricks and pretty cold. And it would be great if the design would be innovative, separate itself from all stadiums and making it interactive with the community, and then maybe allow some of the great Southeast Asian restaurants that Oakland has, some of the best in the country, mom-and-pop places, to be able to have shop fronts there. And was wondering what your guests have to say about that, including that in the design.
I think it's a great idea. That's exactly in terms of our philosophy about making it authentically Oakland. I think that's exactly the way you could do that. And so from our perspective, we want to entertain that.
Nina? Just in general, I think there was that big period starting with Camden Yards in Baltimore. You see that very much in AT&T Park, where there was this retro feel. There was this sort of old brick approach to ballparks. And a lot of the stadiums that have been constructed in the past several years, I'm thinking about Target Field in Minneapolis, which I know really well. In non-baseball things, you have the new Kings Arena in Sacramento, the Golden One Center, are really contemporary, and they also are really designed to take advantage of the skyline or to relate to the site that they're in. And I think they do have a lot of that feel of, you know, trying to be interesting to the people who are walking by them and let them be part of it, even if they're not going to a game.
Well, we're running out of time here, but we have one comment, and I wanted to first throw to Nina on this and then have Dave answer it. Mike asks, can you produce a winning team and how? It sounds like there's a little bit of a controversy here, tension. Nina, do you want to explain it to us?
That is always the problem. I mean, and there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and only two of them are going to go to the World Series. So how do you make a team interesting every year, even if this isn't going to be your year and how do you keep people going to games. I think what the A's have said consistently throughout even the earlier iterations when they were talking about Fremont and San Jose is that they need a new stadium to give them the revenue streams to allow them to sign better players to longer term contracts.
Dave Cavill, we have about a minute here. You want to respond?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the ballpark is so important because it allows us to invest in our young players and really retain them and win more world championships.
Well, that sounds like an end of the show for me. We've been talking to Dave Cavill. He's the president of the Oakland A's. Nina Thorson, producer here at KQED and longtime A's fan, as well as Robert Gammon, who is news editor of the East Bay Express. We've been discussing Oakland A's proposal for a new 35,000-seat privately financed ballpark near Laney College. If you want to keep talking or stay part of this conversation, you can go to our website, KQED Forum at kqed.org, or you can tweet at us and we'll keep the conversation going there. I'm Queenie Kim. You've been listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio, and thanks so much for joining us for this hour.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.